Good morning, brothers and sisters. Do you like running? No? Running is good. So here are the benefits. It enhances cardiopulmonary function, beneficial to heart health, improve sleep quality, and boost immunity. So today we are going to read the book of Hebrews we've just read. It uses running as a metaphor for the path of faith. And it teaches us how to run the race of our faith well. So let us come to the first point. Throw off entangling burdens. Do you know where the Olympic Games originated? Greece, yes, Greece. The Olympics began in ancient Greece with the first recorded games held in 776 BC. The Greek athletic culture was very popular during the apostolic time. This passage vividly uses the athletic imagery to illustrate the life of a Christian. Life is running like running on a track, and believers are like athletes. This is the ancient Greek Olympic Stadium. Do you remember the preceding chapter 11 of Hebrews? It's about a lot of heroes. Do you remember? Yeah, they include Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Samuel, the judges, and the prophets. Though they faced a lot of difficulties and trials, the faith is strong and true. Their testimonies surround us like clouds, cheering us on when we're running in our faith. Just like they are shouting to us, keep going, keep going. We can make it as we did. The author of the book of Hebrews encouraged and reminded readers and us, we are blessed by the testimonies and examples of our forerunner. And because we have such wonderful testimonies, we should throw off every weight, get rid of the sin that so easily entangled us, and run with endurance the race set before us. If someone enters a race holding a phone or carrying a backpack, what would you think? This guy must be unprofessional, right? Now, all professional athletes set aside every burden or take off long leaves clothes in order to run better. Recently, a professor at the Hong Kong Poly University, Polytechnic University, has made a high performance running search. Now, these garments are designed with precise cuts and tailored fits, using the fabrics engineered to minimize air resistance. Similarly, to run well in one's life's race, we must throw off our burdens or hindrance. So what are the things that hinder? Perhaps we are thinking of work pressure, family responsibilities, or health issues, etc. They may be tough, but these things don't necessarily become burdens. The things that hinders in Greek actually refers to something bulky or cumbersome. They are obstacle. They hinder us from fulfilling God's mission. The difficulties in our lives don't necessarily become our burdens. For example, if a sister who has to care for her mother and she's unable to serve, then her mother is not her burden, actually. Because looking after her mother may be one of God's mission God given to her. So what truly hinders our running when we replace God with something else? Like the desire for wealth or ambition for power or even our bad habits. Besides, the scripture gives us a very important reminder. Yeah, sin hinders our progress. So we have to reflect, have we truly confronted our sins? Like speaking harsh words, arrogance, dishonesty, judging others, or hating people. These sins are slowing our progress in faith and divert us further from God's view. And the sin ultimately prevents us from fulfilling the mission of God. So don't let sins continue to entangle us. Don't bring them forward to next year. Second, consider our enduring Jesus. Please note the strongest verbs in this passage is in verse 3. An imperative verb, consider. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. The second thing that we should learn in order to run well on the path of faith is to consider Jesus. To consider Jesus means to deeply think over, to fix our eye on him. So have you experienced this? When you are very exhausted, you desperately want to stop running. But if you know there's a water station ahead, or if the finish line is not far away, then you have the strength to push through, to keep going, because you know you are near the finish line, or there's hope ahead. So when we got a focus or a target, we have hope and strength. Believers should have a focus. Their eyes should be fixed on Jesus and not other people or their difficulties. Here's a picture of a racehorse. Now, why do racehorses wear blinders? Do you know why? Because horses are easily distracted from their surroundings. They will become unsettled by the surroundings. So the blinders help them focus on moving forward. Likewise, athletes must concentrate to run toward the finish line. As for us, we should look on to Jesus who died for us. Don't turn away. Don't be distracted. So why it is Jesus that we should consider? In verse 2, 3, and 7, the word endure is repeated. Jesus endured oppositions and persecutions from sinners. He gives us a very good example of endurance. He endured so much for us that comfort us when we are facing adversities, so that we shall not grow weary and lose heart. So let's follow in the footsteps of the Lord. Do what our Lord commanded us. Look only to him. Consider Jesus. See his examples. Listen only to his voice.
Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. He will give us strength to insist longer. A famous theologian once made an insightful remark. We can read together. By perseverance, the snow reached the ark. This means, no matter how slow the progress may seem, by perseverance, even a snail can reach its destination. So don't lose heart. Though we may move slowly, we are drawing nearer and nearer to the finish line. Don't disregard the loving discipline. From verse 5, the author shifts to another metaphorical sense. What is it? A family. The relationship between a father and his children is used as an analogy. Do you notice the most frequently repeated word in this passage? Yes, discipline. The term discipline appears 7 times in this passage, and it comes from the Greek cultural vocabulary for family education, expressing the relationship of parental instruction to children. It means teaching, guiding, training, correcting, and punishing. Our common understanding of God's discipline often assumes that, because we've done something wrong, God gives us difficulties or hardship to discipline us. God makes us suffer to teach us a lesson so we recognize our mistake and then repent. For example, an alcoholic who neglects his family or church life may become ill and end up hospitalized. Then we sometimes say that, it is Lord's discipline, urging him to rest and reflect. This understanding of discipline is not wrong, but not complete. Actually, discipline also includes, the meaning of discipline also includes direct teaching and correction through the Bible. Let us read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 together. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here, the word training in the original Greek is the same word as discipline. So we see that discipline refers not only to circumstances, but also to God's direct instruction through the Bible. So, brother and sister, have you experienced God's discipline this year? If you think that you have experienced God's discipline, could you please raise up your hand? I think everyone should raise up your hand. Why? Because you are loved by our Lord. In verse 5, it says, the Lord disciplines those he loves. So for whenever through life's circumstances or through the Bible, the God disciplines all of us. Verse 7 and verse 8 states, if you are not disciplined, you are illegitimate children, not true sons. An illegitimate child means an unlawful or abnormal offspring. This metaphor points out that the Heavenly Father's discipline is entirely appropriate, for we are His treasured, acknowledged children. In verse 10, the author further illustrates how the Heavenly Father's discipline surpasses that of earthly fathers. Earthly fathers discipline, they discipline only for a short time, sometimes according to their own value or method. But the discipline of our Heavenly Father gives us many benefits, teaching us to turn away from sin. And most importantly, His discipline leads us to the finish line. So how should we respond to the discipline of our Heavenly Father? First, there's two things we must not do. Don't disregard God's discipline. When you experience discipline, you should pause and reflect. What lesson can I learn from this? How should I grow? Upon recognizing God's discipline, we must strive to transform our life, because the purpose of discipline is to help us become holy. Second, don't lose heart when God rebukes you. When your sin is exposed and you face discipline, you may feel God is punishing you, or that He hates you, no longer loves you, or you may be overwhelmed by guilt before God. Some even consider abandoning their faith and are convicted that they lack the strength to change. So, brothers and sisters, at such times, do not forget the Heavenly Father speaks to you with a voice of love. Do not lose heart. I understand your struggle. I see your tears. I still love you. I treasure you unconditionally and will always protect you. So don't disregard God's discipline and don't lose heart. After two don'ts, verse 9 tells us what we should do. That is to submit to discipline. Submission means surrendering one's will and preference. It's not easy. Verse 11 says that we may feel sorrow. But if we don't submit, we may pretend that there's no discipline, or we may abandon our faith or leave the church. Some may get angry with God. Yet those who refuse discipline will ultimately suffer greater pain from sin and lose the peace from God. Verse 11 says, those who are trained bear the fruit of righteousness and peace. The root of the word train means exercise, training, or discipline. Actually, this word, the train, gymnasio, our modern words, gymnasium, actually comes from this Greek word, gymnasio, train. With the training of discipline, our muscles grow, resulting in the resistance to sins and the harvest of righteousness and peace to help us to run our race well. Finally, strengthen stumbling limbs. Have you ever climbed mountains for over 6 hours? No? Have you ever played a board game for over 2 hours? Yes. Once I played squash by myself for 1 hour. So do you know what happened? My hand could not hold chopsticks. On our faith journey, we may feel like what verse 12 describes. Exhorted, hands hanging down, necks aging. At such times, we want to quit. We may lose the energy to try again or the courage to face challenge, or we lose the hope for the future. How can we cope with physical exhaustion? Normally, after some rest, we keep exercising, stress our muscles, and then you'll find that your muscle grows stronger. And then you'll find that the future workouts easier. Similarly, when our faith weakens, what should we do? Keep believing. Grasp our Lord. For Lord, a Lord will surely care for us. Verse 13 says, make level path for your feet, so that the limb may be disabled but rather healed. We can read another translation version. Let us read ASV version. And make straight path for our feet, that which is lamed may not turn out of the way, but rather be healed. Strengthening the path is a metaphor for walking in righteousness. When we take courage and strengthen the path by removing obstacles and keep going ahead, the lamb will not stumble but be healed. The lamb represents those whose faith is unstable. And stumbling signifies deviation or turning away from God. The entire faith means those whose faith is weak, if they have strength, can correct their errors and once again run the race for our Lord. So, brothers and sisters, the passage today teaches us how to run well in the race of faith. Let us run for our Lord together. It is difficult to run alone, but if we can run together and with the guidance of our God, our journey will be blessed. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we admit that our faith is weak. It is difficult for us to run well, not to say to run to the finish line. But thank you for giving us good testimonies who remind us we should always fix our eye on you. And that we must be determined to repent and turn away from sin and temptations. So now we have a quiet time to repent. Please pray to the Lord if the Holy Spirit reminds you. The sin that entangles you, please repent. Dear Lord, please help us to embrace your love and discipline, and to go through your training. May your grace and love accompany us on the path of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.